see.
You think that's protester?
No, it's just we've got to get from behind us.
That was good. Mean? Oh, yeah. Bloomington did. Yeah, we're going to have I get to sit down today. I don't know what's going on.
The MOC where we get to practice doing the MOC, is it? MOC has laws and tax.
You do get to practice doing communion?
No, that's all that
shit. I was wondering if something new had
communion. I don't know.
Sprinkle holy water.
Like a rabbi.
Learn techniques of sprinkling holy water and pronouncing benedictions. Genuflexes. My. Imagine if we had to learn that. Did you grow up Catholic, John?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who grows up Catholic? I mean, there's a few of you who really grow up
Catholic.
Yeah, who doesn't and who actually does? I mean, like, my mother converted from Episcopalian to Catholic and remarried my father when I was 4 years old. I was dedicated to the Catholic Church. You know, I became an altar boy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But I remember when I was either 8 or 10, somewhere around about there, that I really made a dedication that I wanted to become a priest. But my heart was that I wanted, because I wanted to serve the Lord. You know?
Yeah. That's the way Daniel Bryan was.
I just brought that back to me, that I know I wasn't converted at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a commitment to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, now you will.
Yeah.
You know, and by the time I was 13, I was just, I mean, those people were so awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to Sunday school, you hated to go, because they were mean. They were mean.
Sure are.
You know, if I got there late, the lady would go, what's that little rhyme they have? You used to come at, something about you used to come at 10 o'clock and now you come at noon, is the way it ends, you know. Right in front of the whole class to embarrass you for being late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just hated it. So, I gave it up. I got out of there.
Uh-huh. And by the fruit you shall know them.
Anyway.
Amen. Yes. Okay, well, we left off in Psalm 22. And around verse 11, I think. Let's see. I think we're at verse 12. I think we had this problem with the mother's belly and the mother's womb and all this, so between verse 10 and 11. So, verse 12, I believe, is what we're up to now. And Psalm 22. Psalm 22.
Verse 12.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. Starts with Altir Chak.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Altir Chak, Mimenu, Ki Tzara, Kerova, Ki Ein.
Yeah, this is a verb to be far.
You shall not be far from me because, or for, let's see.
For Sarah's distress.
Because
and this is just an adjective.
Yeah.
But you, it's a predicate adjective. Put a verb in there. Put an is in there. For distress is. Remember what cover old is? Well, it means near. Near.
Oh, okay. So
distress is near.
For distress is near.
Right. So the idea is be not far from me, for distress is near. So it's an imperative. You know, you got the negative command is the all plus the imperfect.
Because there is no help or something.
Yeah, no help or no helper, I guess, would they give it. Give it a, this is probably a noun from Azer.
Here,
Yeah, it could be probably a participle with the longer form with the pholeum while there and functioning like a noun, substantive. So for there is not a helper. Okay, good. Be not far from me, for distress is near, for there is not a helper.
Okay, so that's an, like a command, but not really.
The only the first part is the command.
Negative command, though.
Be not far from me.
Not you shall not, you will not.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this, and this all here kind of gives you more immediate urgency to it, too. Okay, verse 13. Tony, you want to try it?
I have.
Okay.
First of all, if I have trouble following you, all about the business, then how does one read?
All right.
I cannot listen to that.
Are you getting the right verse?
You started with the right and read straight across, even with the gap in the middle.
Well, you kind of look for your sof pasuk. And yes, and you read straight across because the gap in the middle is only a pause for poetic, it's a poetic format here. So you do read straight across, but the gap in the middle is a pause as far as the meter is concerned and the reading is concerned. So like in this verse, be not far from me, and then you make a pause, ki, and aim. Was there, you see, for there's no helper. And it's kind of like a, you know, what they call a pregnant pause, you know, and pause with a lot of feeling in it and so forth. That, so he does read straight across as far as our syntax is concerned, though. Since we're not trying to copy the meter and so forth, we're just translating it. Okay, does that help? Or? Also, the verse numbers, if you're looking at King James or looking at an English translation, excuse me, the verse numbers will be different. So if you've got an English version you're looking at and you're looking at verse 12, it's going to be different than the verse 12 we're looking at. So that could present huge complications in your translation ability in certain situations. Because they go ahead and number the first verse. I mean, the thing that's a title in the King James Version is the verse in Hebrew.
So we're always off by one.
Off by one, yeah.
That explains that problem.
Okay. I figured that might be a problem.
Yeah, that was one of the things I missed out on.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to still try verse 13?
Well, I'm going to pass because I want to see what he does with it.
Okay.
And I want to know that it starts with the bomb.
Yes.
And it ends with Bethurunni.
Yeah, Bethurunni.
Bethurunni.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, excuse me, Bitruni. Bitruni.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that is a Kithruni, isn't it? Yep, Kithruni. Better watch the jots and tittles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kithruni. Kithruni. Okay, yeah, that's what it starts and ends with. Okay, Price, go ahead.
The Rooney, Harin, Rabin, Abiray, Bashan, Kith, Rooney. This would be something like,
yeah, to surround, yeah.
Maybe they surrounded me.
Right. And then the subject is the parim, which means bulls.
The bull surrounded me. Rav would be...
many. Just an adjective. Many, many bulls have surrounded me.
And this is the word line?
No. This is... they give here strong bulls. So I'm not sure what... maybe this is just strong ones, and the word isn't bulls, but you might check the word. It might be just strong ones. Many bulls. Yeah. It may just be a substantive form in construct. Now, it's in construct with Bashan, which is a place name.
Oh, yeah, the bulls of Bashan.
Bulls of Bashan, yeah. Strong ones of Bashan. Strong Cultivation. And this verb we haven't had either. They give it surrounded also, have me rounded. No, have me surrounded. No, that's what they have. Have surrounded me. Okay, so apparently this verb kathar has got a similar meaning to savav. But looks like a PL here.
All the way through this chapter, we had the verbs have been one part of the verse, the same verb repeated, the same idea.
Right.
Different words, but different idea.
This is what we call poetic parallelism, where you have the same thought repeated with different words for emphasis. And so it's good to get a chance to see this. That's part of the reason I wanted to fix some of the Psalms, to see this poetic parallels. You sure learn a lot about synonyms from all this. You get all kinds of sets of them. Okay. Did you find that word for strength, strong ones? Is it just strong ones, or is it the...
It's an adjective in the construct statement.
Yeah.
Avar, which the cow form is not used to be strong.
Okay.
It built a sore. Spoken of God as being the mighty one.
Mm-hmm.
So
mighty ones or strong ones is what we'd have to have, and then you're understanding both from the previous clause. So mighty ones of Bashan have surrounded me. So many bulls have circled me, mighty ones of Bashan have surrounded me. Okay, verse 14, Peter.
Atu, Alai, Kitem, Arye, Toreh, Toreh, Toreh,
Toreh. Okay.
I'm not sure about the first word.
Okay, it means they give here, they opened. So there must be another, you know, patsa with a. It's either a putz, it's either a hollow or a three hay or something.
Okay.
Maybe even a one nun because of the dagesh and the pay there makes me suspicious, but it could be just a begad kafat too.
Yeah. Pathak meant to open too.
Right, pathak meant to open, yeah. So this apparently is another. This has got opening the mouth or something. Gaped, I think, is what they translate in King James. They gaped on me, their mouth. It may have some more of a vicious concept to it. I don't know.
Okay, they opened on me their mouth.
Mm-hmm. You might supply an as here, too.
Okay, as a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Toreh.
These are two participles. The last one means roaring, and the first one, they say ripping here. I don't know. As a lion ripping and roaring.
Mm-hmm.
Rip-roaring lion, I guess.
Oh, I see.
Shoeg
is roaring.
Yes. Yeah, Shoeg. They're both participles, Toreh and Shoeg. So as a lion ripping and roaring, that's what they give here. Maybe enough for us, just to take the translations, I guess. Okay, so it's a picture of vicious, animalistic, brutal image. Verse 15, Doug. I think we had. It means poured out. So I am poured out. It's a nifal. Yeah. So I am poured out. Mm-hmm. And here's a hithpile. This means they give spread apart here, or parted, spread apart. Mm-hmm. Etzim is, we had that before. Bones. Yeah, all my bones. So they all my bones are spread apart. Oh, I'd be well. Etzem is a singular. Etzemoth is plural, and then I be my. So my bones. So atzmothai. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my heart is, and then this noun here is wax, and then you have a preposition kaf on it. Like wax. My heart is like wax. Kadoga, donag. And namase, or not, let's see, namame is melted, they give. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's in construct. Yeah, my bowels is what they give here. The midst of my bowels. This melted could be a stative verb, too. I'm not sure. Namame looks like a stative verb. So it may not be a participle. It may just be a finite verb form. You get the confusion on those participles versus stative verbs oftentimes. Of course, the meaning is pretty much the same either way. Okay, melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse 16, back to John, I guess. You checking on something there, John? Or?
I just don't know what the name.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. To give it a...
let's see. Any other spoke?
No,
it's
got...
Namase?
Yes, it is. Well?
Well, let's see.
Well, that is a little tricky, isn't it? Could be namase. Well, now let me check on my other print. They've got a little bit different print type. Yeah, it is namase. The print that they're using in the greens has got a more of a blocky style, and the print over here in the snaith is easy to see. So it is namase. The one I'm looking at is really hard to tell.
I'm not the only difference on the bottom right.
Yeah, corner. having the thing fill the corner. Yeah. Yeah, I can see the difference now, but boy, it's really
from.
That's a toughie.
Masa. Yeah, it's
So it's a nifal, probably a nifal participle.
Let's see. It is. In pause for one thing. Nifal preterite versus singular masculine.
Oh, it's just a nifal perfect form. Okay.
Masas.
Okay. That is tricky then. It's a nifal form from masas, it's a geminate verb. So it is melted in the midst of my bowels. Okay, so it is a finite verb form, it's not a participle, but it's a nifal.
Masas means perfect. To flow down or melt.
Okay.
To faint, to melt, flow down, become weak.
Mm-hmm.
Melting, wasting away.
Okay. Good. Verse. The hip pile form. Oh, that was going to be interesting too. They give spread apart here. So his parad would probably be from parad or something of that nature, and it's a hip pile form. I can't remember what the King James translates that as.
Parad, to separate, spread.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if there was tip playing. To separate oneself or to be sundered.
To be sundered, okay.
It's a pretty...
Pretty graphic.
Sundered is pretty graphic.
Yeah.
Is Solomon
drawing
in court in heaven? That verb?
That could be. It could be the same one, spread apart his hands. Apart them. All right. This has got a little bit more gruesome sense here.
Yeah.
All right.
Forcibly separated.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a remarkable description of crucifixion, though, because that's exactly what happens. The bones come out of joint.
Are we on 17?
16 in the Hebrew text.
Okay. Yabesh. Is that where we're at?
Mm-hmm.
Kah. 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 Kah.
Yeah,
Kah. Kohi. Kohi.
Lishuni Mutbak Malkohai Wula Afar Mawit. One word.
Yeah.
Tishpatani.
Okay, Tishpatani, good.
Yabesh.
Yabesh means dried. Dried, my something is dried. So this is probably also a... it doesn't look like a nifal, really.
But what is dried?
Okay, kochai is my strength they give here. Kochai. And then like teres, which means potsherd.
Okay.
So my strength is dried like a potsherd.
My strength is dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a potsherd. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are all pretty technical verbs, so they're not going to be ones that are going to be on the top 50 list, you know. And this is tongue here. My tongue.
My tongue?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, there's more here. To give clings to. And my jaws. Yeah. My tongue clings to my jaws.
And maybe.
Yeah. It's the stuff that man is made out of.
Oh,
Genesis,
right.
Dust, yeah.
And to dust, death.
Yeah, dust of death is construct. Into the dust of death, or into dust of death.
Is my judgment, or is my...
Well, this is actually Shafat rather than Shafat. Shafat is judgment and with a tate, and this has got the tau. So they give appointed here. You have appointed me to the dust of death. So you appoint me to the dust of death. To the dust of death you appoint me. So that would be probably an acknowledgement of God's will in this. Okay, a lot of these are just new vocabulary. We certainly don't expect you to guess this. Okay. Tony, you want to dare take verse 17? I'm hoping you'll get maybe some recognition from the memory of this thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say it was going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, historical narrative is quite a bit easier style. This is poetic style is probably one of the hardest. Maybe this is even harder than the prop. And when we get to the prophets, it probably is.
You do get some context in the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poetic is very.
Poetic is rough.
Disjunctive.
Yep.
Thought.
Yeah, you're just not seeing the same kind of grammatical analysis. Diagramming would be really horrendous in this kind of thing. Let's see. Well, go ahead and read the Hebrew for exercise, and we'll see what we can do.
I get to
meet
the translator.
Well, I'll probably be able to help you as much as I helped him.
Which was almost every word.
Yeah. I think it's going to be almost that way. There's a few ones here you might recognize.
Let's see now.
Maybe quite a few.
Well, not afar.
Oh, you're in the wrong verse. Right. But, you're picking up the end of the other verse.
What are the next?
Yeah, this one comes, poor Tony, you got tricked. Let's see what happened here to you. Yeah, see, because the Sof Pasuk does come in the middle of the pause on this one. So, of all the ones to be an exception, there's about two of them on the page, three of them on the page, and this rest of the psalm, and this one you get.
That's how we used to break up all the rest of the sentences.
Yeah. Well, you see, you'll notice, though, if you look at the previous ones, that the Sof Pasuk happens to be at the end of it. So you do go by the Sof Pasuk. So in some cases, like verse 16 or 15 was two lines long. You didn't have a sof pasuk at the end of the first line, but you have it at the end of the second. So you still look for the sof pasuk.
Your book's not like this. I read your book.
So you should be starting with key, the middle of that line on 17. It varies, you know. This like
they're all run together with
lines. Yeah, mine's split down the middle. Like I've got one split down the middle, and the other ones run together. So I have lots of fun here. It's great for your eyes going back and forth.
Now let's try this part. Key.
Mm-hmm.
Sivabuni.
Mm-hmm.
Kelabim.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Ikifuni.
Kaari. Yatei. Waragala.
Okay, Waraglai. Waraglai. Okay. Kelavim is from Kelev. I don't know if we had that noun or not. His dog. Caleb comes from that. Name.
Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb means dog. So dogs have surrounded me. For dogs have surrounded me. And this Adas is a band, like a group or band of.
Oh, it's used for
congregation
too.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, a collection or a group of. In this case, it's not positive. Yeah, a group of evil ones, a group of wicked men. A group of wicked men.
Yeah,
wicked
men.
Yeah, it looks like a participle, I mean. Well, it would be functioning as a noun. Yes. Oh, yes, right. It would be in a positive to that, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or either that, you could call it a parallelism. Take the next verb that's applying to this one. And so a band of wicked men, and then they've got the verb, hikifuni. They give, have hemmed me in. They have hemmed me in.
That's a hip deal, isn't it?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's probably a hip deal. I don't want to bet too much on that. It looks like a one nun hithiel.
Oh, look
at that. The dagesh and the kaf there, so it's probably. My most reasonable guess is a one nun hithiel from Nakaf. But we'll find out. See how good I am at guessing. This next word is, they give it as a noun in, in construct. Mm-hmm. With hands and rugalai, feet. So what they give is piercers of my hands and my feet. So apparently the verb means to pierce. And this would be a noun, apparently, piercers in construct. Yes. Right, it's in apposition to the rest of them. So they're the ones that are the dogs that have encircled me, wicked man have hemmed me in, pierces my hands and my feet. Well, I suppose the hierarchy is the thing that they're going by to make it a construct. It is? How about that? Good.
Just
around.
Let me ask one quick question to try and follow around here.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I missed the half of the phrase. He's after what would be different.
And the death I was claiming. Well, he probably stuck that. He probably just made his verse divisions in a different place then.
That's
part of verse 16 in this, in these texts anyway. He probably might have done the same thing you almost did when you tried to translate it, you know.
Sure, looks that way, because he put that phrase first in the comment and the other three
statements. Okay.
But, I mean, you know, I should break it there. My tongue is clean and my jaw is buried. And to the dust of death, I was appointed me for surrounding me with the pest. For surrounding me have dogs.
Uh-huh.
He actually breaks it right there.
Okay. Next verse, 18. Questions. Yeah. Oh, that means piercers. You might check that too and see what they give for that actual form. Because apparently we have Young's and some of the other. What did Young say for that?
Piercing.
More like a he gave it either as a participle or maybe even an infinitive. The Tirik Yod on the end, you see, is.
It comes up in Ezekiel with an alpha.
Not a participle. Active for a man.
Okay. So they do call it a participle. That's what the Hirik yelled on the end?
Well, no, there is another possibility. The exact same spelling. And that's a cow participle. No, let's see. Prefix kaf to for kaha. I'm sure I understand.
That's probably not what we're looking for. Okay. So it's a call participle. In construct, apparently.
This is the first. I just remember why this verse was familiar to me. This is the one where if I'm correct, the root word is the word lion. And remember a couple of years ago when I was talking about using the quality of lions for the scripture, this was the odd one that said it was like a lion to my hand.
That is with his teeth piercing.
Imagery behind it.
Well, it could be. That makes sense.
Well, that's the Ara.
Ari is lion.
I see. They're taking it as a kaf plus Ari. The verb may be related to the concept of lion itself. The verb. See if you can find it.
It was listed in another listing under lion. Not as a separate word for piercing. But that's the reason. That's not a Hebrew saying this is the way we use that word. It's Englishmen saying these three letters are the same as one in this word. When I looked at it, I got lost in it all. In Ezekiel's altar, there's one part called it the lion of God and the heart of God and the mountain of God.
Well, he said that.
You may have to rely on context.
Say as a, if you were going to say as a lion, it says it's from Ara. But that means to pour to fuck off, and it can.
You hear that
word? Yeah, and it's the one used for lion also.
Oh.
But it also means ark and chest and coffin and lion and. Lion of God and hero and lion-like.
Yeah,
to
lion-like.
It's kind of.
I think you might.
To gather.
Looks like the context would favor the idea of the verbal idea, though, simply because.
Well, that,
if you make
that
it,
verb means to pierce to dig through, it says.
Yeah, because if you take it as a lion, then you'd have my. As a lion are my hands and my feet. You'd have to put a predication in there or something. And so you'd have my hands and my feet are like lions. Or like a lion.
Yeah, to dig or to pierce. properly piercer, stabber, handsome, executioner, sheriff. All the use of a furnace for smelting metal. Fire pan.
Okay, well, open another can of worms. That may be the connection. That's the thing that first caught my mind, is that with their teeth are designed to puncture.
It does give Ari a glance, so Ka'ari certainly did that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, I don't know what the verb is. It seems like it's a different verb in Zechariah where it says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. It's a different verb there. Someone, maybe it is the same as this one. Let's see. I think I've got Zechariah here. Be audit, just out of curiosity, it might be worth checking. Zechariah 14 something, 12? Oh, 12:10. 12:10, that's right. See, someone asked me a question years ago if the piercing could just refer to the same thing as nakab, the idea of blaspheming, that it wasn't really referring to him being physically pierced. And I said, okay, whom dakar, dakaru, they have pierced. So there's a different verb there. It's dalaf kof resh. So it is different. And I think that's got the idea. It seems I looked it up and it has the idea of, you know, physical piercing with a sword or something like that, not just an attack upon their personality with words or something. Okay. Well, another little can of worms there for somebody to look into. Yeah. Okay, verse 18. Price, I think you're next.
Asa Tayer, call Asamo Thau.
Thai?
Yeah.
Asamo Thai.
Yavi Tu Yerau Thi.
Okay.
The first part I'm going to hazard a guess. All my strength has left me, or?
Okay. Well, bones is the word for Edson there. So all my bones, and this is an imperfect. Remember Sefer, Safar. Sefer was book, and Safar meant to count, or to cipher, or something. And we get a word. Maybe we can get a word cipher from that. I don't know. But so asaper means I count.
I count all.
All. My bones.
All my bones.
I count all my bones.
They are probably broken or
something, or not broken. I don't know. Obviously,
can't be broken.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Did it break the prophecy?
No, beat.
Yeah, beat, and apparently it means look. We've got two verbs here for looking.
I thought that Yahweh is some kind of looking.
Yeah, the yeru is the look. They translate, they look and stare upon me. I don't know. Stare at me. They look at me. So we've got two verbs for look. They look and they stare at me, I guess. Something along those lines. So he says, I may count all my bones, and then they look and stare upon me. Stare at me.
Well, him and they.
Yes. Yeah, they. It's a graphic.
So
it's very specific. Okay. Verse 19, Peter, yes.
Yuhalku, Uzadai, Mahen, Ual, Libu, Ki, Yapinu, Gu, Oral.
Okay.
It's not Kalah.
Nope, it's got a Kof on it. It means to divide. Part or divide.
My garment.
Mm-hmm.
To divide my garment for themselves.
Yes, for them or among them or to them.
And upon
this is garment too, or clothing or something, I guess they give it, levush. So, and upon my clothing. And this is kind of a technical expression we may not have run into. It means to cast lots, or cast a lot. They,
to cast a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Goral
is lot, yeah. And so the verb is to cast. So they cast a goral, cast lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, pilu.
Is that a pilu too?
Looks like it. Looks like a one nun hithiel from Napal. But is you? Well, yeah, it probably is. It's absolutely certain, but. It's a begad kifat, so you get a little possible confusion there, but it probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. What does not fall mean by itself? Oh, you have to look that up. Oh, sorry. That's the trouble with one nuns. You have to look in another part of it. Okay, while he's doing that, verse 20, Doug. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I'm a little bit puzzled. Who's the they in 17 and 18? He's talking about man, and he says, how am I going to they?
Mm-hmm.
They look...
I think it's that crowd of dogs and bulls of Bashan and the assembly of the wicked, you know, that have gathered around him, referring
so
back up
so
to verse 12.
Looking upon him, but
no, the people that are gathered there that he characterizes as bulls of Bashan and wicked man and all the rest.
And so the I count all my bones is kind of
an insert. Yeah, right. I count all my bones, and then they, that's perhaps why you've got the graphic, and you've got the pronoun stated, because it's tying you back to, it makes an abrupt switch, and it ties you back to what you were talking about before. Okay.
It's just a technical term. It says not fall, it just means to fall.
Oh, yeah, okay. Should have remembered that.
But, so it's the idea of a lot falling upon.
Mm-hmm. So to cause it to fall, then.
So to cause it to fall.
Yeah, so to cause the lot to fall, roll the dice.
Is there any possibility the
opposite of the oh. You've always got that possibility. Grammatically, it could. Yeah. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. The problem is that having bones stare at you would be... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, if it is a personification... Oh, I see what you're saying, the bones sticking out of the flesh and so forth. Oh. Oh. I don't know. I think it might be stretching it. Yeah. You probably need a little more context to establish something like that. You know, it's not that the figurative things aren't done, but... Usually the whole thing is in a pretty figurative mode, and here most of it is just, he's talking about these that have gathered around him, and he's talking about the relationships and so forth. And the fact that the pronoun is stated there probably is... I don't think there's any way to prove it, nail it down, but I think you have to rely on the context and other things, and the most probable thing would be referring back up to the previous. Okay. Verse 20, then. Yes, Doug's next. Eyaluthi, I guess. Eyaluthi. Mm-hmm. Le Ezrathi. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Shoshana. Yes. You might even put a but here because of the contrast to before, because he's contrasting what God's doing compared to all the rest of them. So, but you, O Yahweh, make this a mild imperative type of an idea. not afar off or be not far away. This is a noun for strength. Ayul, I think we might have had before. But, yeah, be my strength. Oh, my strength, or something like that. Be not afar from, be not afar off. Oh, Yahweh, be not afar off. Oh, my strength. Yeah, deliver or help. Azer. Yeah. So, oh, my strength, to my help, something like that. For my help. Be not afar off, oh, my strength, for my help. You know, in other words, don't be too far away to help me. And this last word is interesting. We haven't had it before, so I might as well tell you. It just means hurry. It's an imperative. Hurry. Husha. Say hurry.
That's all it means.
That's all they give for it. It looks like a longer form of the imperative. Remember that form that you get... now, I'm not sure what verb root is from. It looks like maybe a hollow verb. So it would be worthy of looking up, I think. But all they give for it is hurry with an exclamation point. Some of them translate it... it kind of depends on how you translate this, but you could say, you could put your pause, maybe this is better, to have the, my strength be, you know, O Yahweh, be not afar off, O my strength, and pause there, and hurry to my help, something like that. Hurry to help me, that's what some of them do.
It's also the same word for a country from Kush.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. It doesn't mean to hasten or hurry.
Kush. Mm.
Yep. That's
hurry, accelerate. Okay, so it's a hollow verb then.
Yes.
Okay.
To hasten to make haste, to incite.
Mm-hmm. Do they give this kusha as an imperative?
Mm-hmm, with okay. The paragogic.
All right. Okay. All righty. 21. Back to John, I guess.
Hatila. Mecherel Nafshi Miyad Kelev Yikyadati.
Okay. I think it's a hifil. It means deliver.
So deliver me from.
Mm-hmm.
What's hair or
something? Sword.
Well, that's right. That's more different. I thought that was the word we had before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, deliver me from.
Some nefesh.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if that was a construct, but it doesn't really. From. Well. From the sword.
Yeah.
The sword.
And then pause there, and it'd be best.
So deliver my soul from a sword, or from the sword.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, deliver my soul from the sword, right.
Okay. From the hand of, what was that again?
Dog.
Dogs. From the hand of the dogs.
This is from the infamous Yaqid that Rambach claims is means an absolute one.
They're gathered about me, or.
Well, see, this would be in kind of a parallel to my soul. They translate my only one here, my only one from Yaqid, meaning only.
It's not a verb
one then? Nope. It's a noun apparently. It looks like the noun is probably yakida or something like that. Yakida, a feminine noun.
Mm.
And then putting the tau on it and then putting your suffix on it, looks like what they've got.
It sure looks like a verb.
Yeah, it does. But my only one, what they give it here. My only one from the hand of the dog. So deliver my soul from the sword. And my only one from the hand of the dog.
Okay.
or the paw of the dog probably is what they... The dogs don't have hands, but they have paws.
King James says, my darling, for it.
Okay,
from the power
for
of the dog.
From the power of the dog?
Yeah.
Okay, they're taking hand as figurative. It's power. Okay. Yeah, you might check that. Yichidati. But I would guess that it's a feminine noun, yichida, feminine form of yachid. And then a suffix put on that and it's a substantive. Okay, do you want to try 22, Tony, while I was looking that up? You got your line again in there.
R-Y-A. Wapnika Remi.
Okay. Yeah. Ani Thani. Hikifuni and Anathani, you know. This is from Hoshea, you know. This is a, should be a Hophal or Hiphil or something of, looks like a Hiphil. Hiphil of Yasha, so. So save me.
From the face of the lion.
Yeah, or Pa's mouth. So Mipi is from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the mouth of the lion. And these you're probably all going to have to. Vocab on. The first is horns, from the horns of the wild oxen. And this is answer, you've answered me. So they're taking answered in the sense of responding to his need, I suppose. So save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen, you have answered me.
Or you have afflicted me.
You have what?
Afflicted me?
Okay. Is it the same? Interesting. Yeah.
I'm a little puzzled on the concept of just because
I think so. I think it doesn't really flow real well because one is imperative and the other one is perfect. So I can't really tell you what to do with that except chalk it up to poetry, poetic style.
On this Yehida,
mm-hmm.
It is the feminine form.
Which you said,
Yehida.
Okay.
And apparently,
probably referring to his soul. Nefesh was feminine or something.
Okay, but it's saying solitary, forsaken. But it also means only or most dear or darling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they were right in translating.
Yeah. The darling of my soul. My darling. The only one.
And being a feminine. So it'd be referring to the only.
The only thing I could think of is that now Nefesh, I think, might be feminine. Or it might be common. The Segalit. And I can't remember now, but it seems like it was feminine. If that's not the case, I'm not sure what it would refer to. But if Nefesh is feminine, then it could refer back to my soul. My darling one, you know, the one that's precious to me is my soul, you know, my life.
Common singular, they give it here.
Common, okay. Well, that opens the door for it then.
Something like that, maybe in the
original
definition.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says solitary one.
Yes.
Or when it says special darling.
Yes.
How much of that?
Yeah. You've got a point there, I think. That's why, that's precisely the reason why I always recommend doing a thorough word study in the scriptures. Because when you do that, you can sometimes find out what they've done. They may do that. In other words, you may find it used as only in a bunch of places and then find it used only here in this other sense. And from the context, they picked up this idea of the darling one, perhaps, or read that into it even, and then gave you the translation. And with Hebrew, you're probably, you know, doing... With Greek, you can sometimes consult other sources, other literature that can help you get the sense of the word. But with Hebrew, you're pretty much stuck with the Hebrew text, because if you look at Jewish rabbinical writings, you know, you can't trust those as far as you can throw, you know, an elephant. And not only that, but any sense that they may have is probably derived from the scriptural text anyway.
I think we should go to the Septuagint.
Oh.
I go to Living Bible.
Living Bible? Well, I think it just depends. In some cases, more so than others, and you just need to be careful. In some cases, it depends on what your range is.
It doesn't sound like, in a sense, you could convince too many people too much of the time if they know any better.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not so sure about that. Some, you know, a lot of it's pretty clear, and there are some things, especially in prophecy, where you're going to have double, possible double applications. And you, if you don't convince them, don't worry about it. I would say, I think some of those things there. There's a realm there where.
Like on a specific one, the context. You know, even if it was used for that other thing, what else? You're not talking about the death of your soul,
right?
Desolated and that kind of.
Sure.
Thing.
Sure.
You know, they're obviously applying another way.
Right. Yeah, I think you can usually, that context has to be, context, parallel passages, those are always things you're going to be constantly having to apply in situations like that. And that's why I'm word study that, not just looking up all the lexicons. You find one guy copies from the other one anyway. You know, they all say the same thing. You know, first of all the lexicons say this, but that probably is because one of them got it from the rest of them, you know.
Yeah,
it's often the case. They're not always independent witnesses.
It's amazing how frequently the wording of these definitions parallels exactly what somebody else said. And you go, well, who copied who? Without any notation. Commentaries are like that, too, all the time.
Well, maybe it's like the Septuagint. They're all in their own chamber, and they came up.